Hello.
Good morning, ladies. For those of you who don't recognize or know me, which is probably a good portion of you, my name is Jennifer, and I'm just here to welcome you all. And I have a quick announcement for those of you who are in Katie and Dee's room 2 group. This week, you're going to meet in room 7 because your room is under construction. So we won't make you sit in the construction zone. We'll just let you be in room 2. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and study your word and to enjoy fellowship with one another. We just thank you that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand to our feet, sing a few songs of worship.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Now your mercy,
now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Let's sing that again.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
You are.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yeah, that is who you are. 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 miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Lord, we remind ourselves, God, of who you are to us each and every day, God. You are truly all these things, God. You have proven yourself to be these things to us. You've proven yourself to be so faithful, God, in our lives. And we choose to trust you because of that, God. We have no reason but to trust you and to put our hope in you. And we thank you so much for this time. And we just ask that you be the center of it, that you be glorified in all that happens here today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys find someone you haven't said hi to yet? Give them a hug.
How's the family?
COVID?
Yeah. Are they okay?
Good morning. So, how many of you shop on Amazon? Yeah, and it's so convenient, right? I love Amazon because I really like to read the reviews on a product. And it saves me from purchasing something that makes grand claims in the title. And then you read the reviews and it's like not as described, broke on the first try, you know. And so you realize this is junk, let's pass and look for something with bigger reviews. Vitamin water is one of those things. So vitamin water claimed to be nutritious and healthy. It turns out vitamin water has 32 grams of sugar. So they were sued in, I believe, 2009 for false advertising. Right around that same time, Red Bull, their slogan is Red Bull. It gives you wings. And that one seems kind of obvious to me. You're not going to actually grow wings. But someone actually filed a lawsuit against Red Bull because he had been drinking it for 10 years and he failed to grow wings. Christianity is not that way. There are no false claims. God never said, come to me and you will not have any suffering. Your life will be a party every day, right? He was very clear on what coming to him meant. It meant that we would have him with us in our lives, but that it wasn't a protection against suffering. Christian actually means little Christ, and no one suffered more than Jesus Christ. Verse 12 of our text says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. This really, my heart became very burdened for people who have asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? I'm sure you've been asked that. If you've ever tried to, you know, share your faith, and people will say, if there's a God, then how come bad things happen to good people? Have you been asked that? Have you heard that? Yeah. So let me tell you why bad things happen to good people. Satan is the prince of this world, and he is prowling like a lion to devour you. But what Satan means for evil, God uses for good. And he uses that to purify us like silver in a melted crucible. The second reason why bad things happen to good people is that God chastens those that he loves, just as a father chastens his son. So let's look at the first, the suffering that refines our soul. God gave us three illustrations to reinforce this concept. The first one is the one we've been discussing in 1 Peter with the refiner's fire and refining silver. And I know we talked a little bit about this on our first week, but there's a silver that is attached to some rock, right? In order to get the silver out of the rock, the refiner uses extremely high temperatures of heat to melt the silver off of the rock. Now, sometimes that can be really stubborn, and it will have to be done over and over and over again. And each time, the refiner is able to scoop out the impurities off of the top to make it purer and purer. The second illustration is in John 15, where he talks about he is the vine and we are the branches, where God will cut off the dead branches and he will prune the branches that are producing fruit. And I really was thinking about this one a lot because I'm trying to grow my hair longer. And they say, oh, if you want your hair to grow faster, you need to trim it, right? So it doesn't actually make your hair grow faster, but what it does is it cuts off all those split ends. And if you don't cut the split ends off, they split more and they go higher, which is what makes your hair then really thin. This is something really resonated with me because I thought this is my last hope to grow my hair longer. But that illustration, that picture of cutting off the split ends actually makes your hair thicker, fuller, healthier. And then that's what God does in our life, right? He's cutting off our split ends. The third illustration is in Jeremiah with the potter and the clay. I'm sure you remember this one where the potter goes and gets the broken vessels and he's spinning them and molding them and shaping them into a beautiful piece of art. And that, again, is a perfect illustration of what God is doing in our lives. He is that creator, and he wants to create something beautiful in you. So these trials are all designed to make us more like him and also to prove that our faith is genuine. The passage in Jeremiah 29:11, I think, everybody knows this one. They like to throw this verse around a lot. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, the part there in the middle, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, I think is so frequently misunderstood. And we take that to mean that, oh, God wants us to have wealth. He wants us to have a grand life. He wants what the world would see as prosperity, and not to harm you, meaning you will never suffer, you will never cry. But that's not what that means. He has a plan to prosper us for eternity. He is looking at our souls, and he wants our soul to prosper. He doesn't want to harm you. He's not. His plans for you are good, but it's not what we want to think of as good. With that in mind, let's look at verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So many of you in this room have gone through childbirth. And God compares this in the Bible as well. And we know the act of childbirth is painful. It's laborious and it is painful. But at the end, we're going to come out with a prize that we get to take home with us to love and snuggle for the, well, hopefully for a long time. And, you know, some days we're like, put them back. I don't know. But when you're pregnant, you're excited. You're thinking about that baby. You're not thinking about the labor. You're not thinking about how painful that is. People don't say, oh, I'm so sorry you're pregnant. That's going to hurt really bad. You know, no, they're like, I'm so excited that you're going to have this baby. And it's fun while we're suffering, when we're like going to the bathroom like 18 billion times and while nothing fits. But we're still, we get to, you know, dress up the nursery and we're shopping for all the cute little outfits. We're reading baby name books because we are thinking about the end product. And that is how we find joy in our suffering, is we can know with confidence that the end product is going to be beautiful. And that sometimes we get to see it. Sometimes we go through our trial and we get to see that baby that was birthed. And sometimes we have to wait till we get to heaven, and that's definitely a lot harder. But knowing that it was good, trusting that it will be good, and looking back on other instances in our life where we were able to see the fruit is what can encourage us for the times when we don't. Verse 15 says, but let not of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. So now this is kind of that shift over to the second reason of suffering, where God will chasten those that he loves. In Jeremiah, it says, your own wickedness will correct you. We can read this list and think a murderer, well, we probably don't have any of those in here. A thief, maybe, you know, there's more subtle ways to be a thief. But a meddler or a busybody, I think that we have all been guilty of being a meddler or a busybody at some point in our life. And we suffer the correction from that. Maybe that's a loss of a friendship. Maybe that's a fight with your spouse or your in-laws. There's plenty of matters that we put ourselves into where we don't belong. And then we get the natural consequences of that. I'm a big believer of natural consequences with my kids. They crashed their car. I'm so sorry you have to pay for that now. Well, when you crash my car, you have to pay for it. Or you could see my car still has a bumper with no taillight. Still working on those natural consequences to play out. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Here in the United States, we can't say that we have suffered remotely close to what the early Christians suffered for Christ's sake. Or we can look in the Middle East, where Christians today are suffering for their faith. Here in the United States, we're protected by that. But that doesn't mean that we haven't suffered. And I really love Pastor Dave's message over on Sunday, if you were here, where he talked about we can't compare sufferings. You know, when a 13-year-old girl goes through when she's not allowed to sit at the popular table is her world. And when she loses that world, she's suffering. And even though us as adults, we can say, that's not a big deal. You're going to get over that. You're going to have better friends. But to her, that is her world, and that is suffering, and we can't compare. I have friends that are, you know, a girlfriend, she sprained her ankle, and she's like, oh, I can't complain to you that, you know, my ankle hurts. And I'm like, no, you can complain to me that your ankle hurts. Just because I have other parts of my body that are hurting all the time doesn't mean I don't care about your ankle. Right? And that's the way God is with us. Just because we're not suffering the way the early church did or the Middle East does, it doesn't mean that our suffering isn't real. Let's go on to verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as the faithful creator. So in this passage, Peter closes the chapter with, okay, we suffer. Let's look at why we are suffering. Let's look at the possible avenues. Is this something that you brought upon yourself? Or is this something that God is just using to glorify himself and to make us more like him? And then, what do we do with our suffering? And this is really the beautiful part. Because suffering gives us a different perspective on the world. We have a much clearer contrast between pain and joy. Some of the most brilliant artists in the world have had great suffering. And through that pain, they are able to create masterpieces. And that's what God does in us. Through our pain, he is creating a beautiful masterpiece. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to use your pain and suffering to make something beautiful? Are you going to use that to love someone else? In 2010, I shared with you all last year, if you were here, one of the most difficult trials of my life. And at that point, I had really already had my fair share, is what I thought. And I had just started working in ministry. I was really praying, Lord, use me. I just really want to be used. I was just getting a taste of ministry and encouraging women and praying with women and sharing in their sorrows. And you know, he knocked me off my feet with, I was 6 months pregnant, I believe, at that time. And I got put on bed rest, and then it turned out my appendix had ruptured. And it was the darkest years of my life. And I really was angry, just angry. I thought, Lord, I had been asking for you to use me, and then I feel like you just took everything away. Now you've laid me flat out for 2 years where I couldn't even see another person. I don't understand. And I knew he performed a miracle. He performed a miracle. He saved me when I should not have been alive. My little guy, my little guy, you see him running around. He's 12. He saved him. But I couldn't understand why he did this. And I thought, I have already suffered. I have already paid my dues, God. I know that you said that if we come, that you promise suffering, but I'm done with suffering. And so maybe I don't want you in my life anymore. I was angry. I was really angry. I was just in the darkest place I've ever been in. And he came to me and he reminded me that he was with me in the whole way, and he reminded me of the promise that he gave me, that it was going to be a long road for me. And he gave me this picture of what my life would be without him, because it's not like if we don't have God, we're not going to suffer. We are going to suffer, because remember we talked about Satan, the prowling lion? He wants to devour everybody, not just Christians. He wants to torture all of us. So it's do we suffer with him, or do we suffer without him? And the Lord really spoke that to my heart. And I was finally able to pick up the pieces and move on from there, to grow from there. And I realized without that experience, without all of the experiences that I've had as a child, I would not be here. I would not be the person that I am today. And I wouldn't have compassion for your suffering. I would think, you brought that upon yourself. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to relate. Do I wish he could have taught me that a different way? Absolutely. We all do. We all wish that we could just learn those things the easy way, right? But some of us don't. And he continues to refine us time after time because he loves us and he wants us to be that person that he sees when he looks at us. Because he looks at us and he sees our finished product. We are in the process in our perspective, but to him, you know, time, there is no time continuum. He sees you finished. He knows what the plan is for you when he's ready to take you home, what you're going to be. So I had decided at that point I did not want to be a wasted miracle. And it took a while, but I was able to, you know, figure out how to do things differently. And I remember my mentor at the time when she had asked me to come back into leadership, and I had said, I don't know that I can. I get called away because my baby is sick all the time, and there'll just be months where I just, you know, would just hold him and cry. There's nothing I could do. And she told me, if God has given you the heart for this, then he's going to provide the tools, and he will use you, and he'll find a way through all of your obstacles. And let me tell you, he did. I think I only missed one study for a sick baby. But unfortunately, I do know that he is going to put me back on that potter's wheel, and he's going to put me back in the fire again, and there's going to be split ends that need to be chopped off. And I do understand that. But I am thankful because I can look back and see the person that I would have been versus the person that God has created me today. And I'm thankful for that. So when I'm back on the chopping block, I can remember the fruit that has come out of the last time and rejoice knowing that he's going to produce more fruit in me after that next trial. And you know what? Heaven wasn't a place maybe that I looked forward to before, but I sure do now. I am looking forward to that day when I'm done being perfected and he takes me home. Or he comes home and takes us all home, even better. But let's pray. Lord God, Lord, we know how you are good and that your plans for us are good. That you plan to prosper us eternally, Lord, to make us more like you. And even though it's painful, it's discouraging sometimes, Lord, and we get frustrated, we get paralyzed by the trials that we are in, Lord, we can remember your promises. And we know that you never leave us, that you walk with us through them, you're holding our hands, and you offer us peace through it all. Oh, Lord, I just pray that we're able to cling to your peace that you offer that just surpasses all understanding when the world doesn't understand how we could be joyful in the midst of our trials, Lord, that comes to you from you. And when someone asks, how are you so happy, Lord, that we are ready to answer because my God is with me. And he is going to do something mighty in this. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.